మదనుగ్రహాయ పనమం గుహ్యమద్యాత్మసంగితం యత్వయోక్తం వచస్తేన మోహోయం విగతో మమ. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. Shrutau vistara shomaya Tvattah kamala patraksha Mahatmyam api chavyayam. O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. You can recite the third one also. Yeah.
ఏవమేతత్ యథా తత్వం ఆత్మానం పరమేశ్వర ద్రష్టుమిచ్ఛామి తే రూపం ఐశ్వరం పురుషోత్తమ.
ఓ గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ పర్సనాలిటీస్, ఓ సుప్రీం ఫార్మ్, దో ఐ సీ యూ హియర్ బిఫోర్ మీ ఇన్ యువర్ యాక్చువల్ పొజిషన్ as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. Talking of all his glories, Krishna said, Krishna told Arjuna not to try to understand all different opulences in their grandeur, but to understand that ultimately everything comes from Krishna. So he said, my dear Arjun, what is the use of my telling you about all these things? I am just giving you some samples of my opulence. So he concludes the chapter saying that with that verse, yadyad vibhuti matsatvam shri madhurujitame vatatri vavagachatvam amatejamsha sambhavam. And then one more, atava bahunaitena kim nyatena tava Arjuna ఇష్టభ్యాహమిదం కృష్ణం ఏకాంశేన స్థితో జగత్. సో హీ సెడ్ ఈవెన్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఆపులెన్సెస్ దే ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఆన్ అ స్మాల్ ఫ్రాగ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ మై సెల్ఫ్. ఏకాంశేన స్థితో జగత్ హీ సెడ్. సో దట్ ఇస్ ద కీవర్డ్. సో ఏకాంశేన మీన్స్ వన్ small fragment of myself, with that I pervade the whole universe, he said. So what is that small fragment of himself? That is a super soul, which pervades the whole universe. Which means, when we say, no, it's too loud. Okay. Hare Krishna. Is it all right? Yeah. So this Ekamsha is actually the super soul from of the Lord. So how the Lord pervades the whole universe, how he sustains the whole universe with his a small fragment. Even Krishna doesn't sustain the whole universe. You know, in the Greek mythology, they have this story of someone like Atlas carrying the sky, holding the skies from falling down to the ground. So Atlas hands it over to somebody else, isn't it? No. Atlas hands it over to somebody. Hercules, is it? Yeah, he hands it to Hercules. So you can see him, how much he must be struggling to hold the sky. Must be getting serious shoulder pain, holding the skies. Whereas, Krishna wants to tell Arjun that even though I already told you before in the 9.4 and 5, what did Krishna say? Everything is resting on me. But that doesn't present any burden on me. It doesn't burden. You see, whenever in any company you go higher and higher in your position, then your responsibilities also keep increasing. Your physical work may reduce, but your mental work increases. Also the responsibility that you take increases. And your mind is constantly working. It has to work really very, very fast. You may have to do more paperwork, more table work, more phone calls and, you know, problem solving. And, you know, making people, you know, teach and train people. So many things are there. So the tension suddenly increases, especially crisis management, isn't it? When one goes higher and higher in any company, naturally the crisis, whenever crisis comes, it will gradually come to the top. So we have this preventive maintenance and breakdown maintenance. So there is certainly breakdown also. But we don't find the Lord being number one person in the whole universe having any such tension. What about that such and such universe, whether one avatar has gone there or not? You know? It's time now. Now Kali Yuga has come. You know? This avatar has to go there, that avatar. You know? He doesn't have to worry like that. Things happen as if automatically, you know, for him, very easily. One of the reasons is that because he doesn't do it himself. Whenever any work has to be done, what he does? He just makes expansion of himself and allots the service to that person. That's why he says, this whole universe does not present any burden on me, he says. It's not a burden on me. Because creation is done by Mahavishnu, all the universes. After that he enters into every Vishnu as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu, like that. So here Krishna says, all these opulences actually exist, and I make them exist simply by a small fragment of myself. The whole thing exists. Like that. So this makes Krishna even more great. So now Arjuna here in this chapter of universal form here, in the first 2-3 verses you see, Arjuna is just telling Krishna about his conviction. He is revealing his conviction. He is telling, I have heard all the instructions from you that you have kindly given about the most confidential spiritual subject. My illusion is gone now. He is accepting Krishna as supreme. And here he is saying, in the second and third verse also, since the third verse he is using words like Parameshwara, Purushottama. Parameshwara means Supreme Lord. Purushottama means the best of the personalities, the Uttama Purusha, like that. Which go to show that Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without a doubt. And he also declared in the 10th chapter, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. But after saying all this, in the third verse here you find Arjuna asking, Drashtum Ichchami Te Rupam Aishwaram Purushottama. He appears to be interested in seeing that form of Krishna, which he said, how he pervades the whole universe in that form of Vishwarupa. So why is Arjuna curious to see that particular form? One may be interested. Why should Arjuna ask Krishna to show that form? Actually, Arjuna is Krishna's devotee. A devotee is very happy to see the Saumya form, the beautiful form of 200 form of Krishna. And a devotee is very happy and satisfied seeing that form. A devotee is not interested in seeing the ghastly form of Virat Rupa. You know, God has two sides. You say God creation and destruction. So if you see the Vishwarupa, you see a part of Vishwarupa is also called as Kala Rupa. It's a very, very ghastly form. There are millions and millions of heads, millions of bellies, millions of hands and legs, and many of the forms, every different heads have different activities going on. Some heads are emitting fire. Some of the mouths are actually devouring soldiers, and they are crushing their skulls. They are crushing them to pieces and devouring them. And different heads are decorated with different kinds of ornaments. Nobody knows where it begins, where it ends. Such kind of very ghastly form, fearful form. So devotee would certainly not want to see such a form. Then one may be curious, why should Arjuna ask Krishna to display that form? Because Arjuna wants the people of this world to know that Krishna is supreme. He wants them to know Krishna's supremacy. There are many activities of Krishna within this world which make people think Krishna is an ordinary person. Krishna's dealing with his devotees make people think that They even argue. Just see, Krishna's behavior is like ordinary person. Like for example, Gandhari gave a curse that, you know, the Yadukul will be destroyed, isn't it? Later on, the Yadukul is destroyed. So people say, oh, just see. That means Gandhari is more powerful. People tend to think like that. Actually, nobody has the ability to please the Lord or curse the Lord. Nobody has the ability. But Lord actually does many things in one shot. Like Lord wants to prove the chastity of Gandhari. And Lord also wanted to wind up the Yadukul soon. So he makes the drama so wonderful and so precise that things happen in proper order. So even Muhyanti Yat Sureha, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna also says, even the Name Vidu Suraganaha Prabhavam Namaharshayaha Ahamadrihi Devanam, he says, no? Name Vidu Suragana, even the great demigods and sages are bewildered by Krishna's activity. By seeing his pastimes, one can be bewildered. There is an incident that happens when the Pandavas are in the forest. Once the Pandavas, while going in the forest, they come across a particular place where they find a peculiar tree which has some special type of fruit. As soon as they go near the tree, the fruit is so attractive. Immediately it catches Draupadi's attention. And Draupadi shows that fruit to Dharmaraj, Yudhishthira. Just look at that fruit, it is so beautiful. As soon as you see it, you feel like eating it. And he immediately takes a bow and arrow and he aims that fruit and hits it, and immediately the fruit falls to the ground. Big fruit. So as soon as the fruit falls, when they are about to pick it up, all of a sudden they find from the ground there are some kind of roots, very fine fibrous roots all over the ground spread over. Those roots are as if they have got life. They start capturing the legs of all the Pandavas, and including Draupadi also. And Draupadi feels being pulled by those fibrous roots. And she's wondering, what are the fibers? In that forest, there was a Rishi living called as Roma Rishi. So Roma Rishi, his body is full of Rome only. And his Rome was extending all through the forest, everywhere. And this tree also belonged to him. And nobody was supposed to take any fruit from this tree. It's a very, very special tree. One can accept the fruit only if the fruit falls of its own accord. Then one can accept the fruit. Otherwise, nobody is supposed to pluck any fruit. So they had done a blunder. Now the Rishis Rome were extending all through the forest. Anybody who plucks any fruit like that, immediately the Rome starts pulling them. Now they'll be pulling them close to this Rishi, although he's very far away. So they were all very gradually being pulled like that. And immediately the Pandavas started crying. And Krishna appears there. And Krishna is asking, what's the matter? And the Pandavas tell him. And Krishna says, you committed a big mistake. And he's going to become angry now. How are you going to pacify him? And they all tell Krishna, you only can pacify him. You go and pacify him. And Krishna tells them, you all remain here. Don't come. And I'll go and pacify him. Then he goes there. In the meantime, Rama Rishi is finding, why is my hair feeling some pain? Because his hair starts pulling now. He's feeling some kind of pain. And Krishna goes to his ashram. And as soon as he goes to his ashram, immediately Rama Rishi stands up with folded palms. He worships Krishna and he falls at his feet. He feels so jubilant. And he tells Krishna, my dear Lord, it is so kind of you to voluntarily come and visit my ashram without even being called. It is so kind of you that you have given me your blessed darshan. And he becomes so elated, so excited by seeing Krishna. He starts offering flowers to him and offering puja to him. And then Krishna sits with him, and for some time he starts speaking very sweetly, very nicely. In the meantime, Rama Rishi forgets totally everything, what happened. Forgets the matter about the fruit. And Krishna tells them that after some time you come to that ashram. Don't come immediately. So as expected, after some time the Pandavas come. After a few minutes when they come, and as soon as they come, Krishna immediately stands up and he falls on the ground and offers obeisances. Seeing that, Rama Rishi also offers obeisances to them. And then Krishna starts extolling the glories of the Pandavas. He tells about Draupadi, he tells about Yudhishthira, he tells about Arjun, Bhima, every one of them, what is their glory. How great devotees they are, and Krishna, how much he loves them. And hearing this, the Rama Maharshi, all his Rama is standing on end. He's ecstatic hearing that. And then Krishna tells him, they have come actually to your ashram because they would like to have a fruit from that tree. Would you mind giving them? And he says, why not? They can take as many fruits as they want. So after that, then Krishna tells them, now you take more fruits if you want. He tells them. So now, if somebody hears pastimes like this, Krishna offering obeisance to a rishi, and again Krishna offering obeisance to the Pandavas. So I read this story long ago in Mahabharata, one of the Mahabharata versions of some organization. So that person writes in the end, the activities of the Supreme Divine cannot be understood by us, like that he concludes. Because people get bewildered when they hear such pastimes. They wonder, what is this? We always say that Krishna is God and he is doing dandavat to everyone. He is doing dandavat to some rishi and dandavat to Pandavas. People get bewildered. So often people come to wrong conclusion, saying that maybe Krishna may be a temporary manifestation, or all the avatars must be temporary manifestations. And they think that absolute truth must be something very great, because generally human beings have a notion that God means he must be somebody very, very great. He cannot be ordinary. He cannot be simple. That much people know, generally. Like somebody went to this laboratory. He wanted to meet the most famous world-renowned scientist, Michael Faraday. So he went to the laboratory. When he went to the laboratory, there was one lab assistant or somebody who was washing in the wash basin with pipette and burettin. He was washing. He went and asked him, can I get an appointment from Michael Faraday? He asked him. He said, go and sit in that chair. He'll come, he said. And after some time, after 10-15 minutes, the person who came and sat opposite to him was the same lab assistant. And he asked him, when can I meet him? I've been waiting for 10 minutes, he said. He said, I am Faraday, he said. So Faraday was so simple to look. So in the same way, generally people have a notion that if somebody is in a big position, they also have to be very big. Like one time, they had called me for some big program. So I had gone for the program. I just went in a bus, I got down. And I went, because as soon as you go, people think, where is the car? Which car you came by? People ask me, how did you come? And I came by bus, I said. And how many people have come with you? I said, I came alone. I said, all our brahmacharis are all busy. And they all have gone to different places to preach. I came alone. They were shocked, shell shocked. How you are saying you are president of a temple, you have come alone? So especially in the worldly sense, people have a big expectation that if somebody is God, he cannot be ordinary looking. He has to be somebody very special. So when Krishna performs this kind of pastimes, people think, how can such a person be God? Now Arjuna also thought like that. Arjuna thought, I know very well that Krishna is God. I am convinced about it. But how do the worldly people know that Krishna is God? So it's better for them to have some proof which will totally convince them that Krishna is God. It has to be such a proof that nobody else can put up show that I am God. Krishna should prove himself to be God, and such a show cannot be put up by anybody else. That was Arjuna's desire. That is the reason why he is asking, Drashtamichyami te rupam. I am desirous of seeing such a form. So now Krishna will show his Visvarupa Darshan in this chapter. Like just like the army, like army general or somebody like that. Your son always may see him in a simple dress at home, maybe in a kurta pajama, simple dress. But occasionally the army officer may come in his uniform, wearing his uniform with all the stars and colorful, what do you call the strips, isn't it? Carrying a machine gun with a cap, surrounded by so many of his other officials. He may come in a big military van or something. He gets down with so many people. So son may get to see him occasionally like that. Similarly, Krishna is also not interested in showing this kind of darshan to his devotees. But occasionally Krishna shows, because Arjuna asked this form, so Krishna is going to show such a form. So Prabhupada once was talking to his disciples. So one disciple came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that guru, who is preaching in the same city now, he is claiming that he is God. And Prabhupada told the disciple, go and ask him to show Visharupa. He said, Visharupa darshan, like Krishna showed. So this is one thing you can demand. And the disciple went and came after some time. Prabhupada asked him, what happened? Prabhupada, he says that he can show Visharupa darshan, but none of his disciples are qualified to see. He said. Then Prabhupada said, does he not have one disciple who is qualified enough to see his form? So there are many people all around the world who cheat like that, saying that I am God. So one can demand. If you see the last purport of this 11th chapter, see, last purport. There it says, that Prabhupada says here, in the middle. In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is a temporary manifestation, and the form of time, which devours everything, and even the form of Vishnu, 400 forms, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Last page in the 11th chapter, yeah. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It's not that Krishna is the manifestation of original Vishwarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the origin of all forms. And there are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus. So Prabhupada is explaining about how Krishna is the source of Vishnu form, and Krishna is the source of all the other manifestations. He is the source of everything. In the same purport, Prabhupada talks about the imposters. Is there somewhere? Arjuna asked him to show this form. In 48 he says, is it? He's saying in 48 verse, says, persons who create incarnations, they falsely claim an ordinary human being to be an incarnation. This is 48 verse, last paragraph. But this is all foolishness. We should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, there is no possibility of attaining perfect spiritual knowledge. The followers of a pseudo incarnation may say that they have also seen the transcendental incarnation of God, the universal form. But that is unacceptable, because it is clearly stated here that unless one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one cannot see the universal form of God. So one, first of all, has to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Then he can claim that he can show the universal form of what he has seen. So this is another part where he says about only a devotee can see the universal form. There are many people who cheat like that. So Arjuna wanted Krishna to show this kind of form. And Krishna also occasionally shows this kind of form to keep people in their place, for them to know who he is. Otherwise, seeing his spontaneous pastimes with his intimate devotees, a common man may never benefit, thinking that Krishna is also a mortal, he is also an ordinary person. One may think like that. You know the story of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, isn't it? Once he came to some marriage party or something. So he came with a simple dhoti, kurta, catching a stick in his hand, like a very simple man. Then the watchman saw. Watchman was actually sending many gentlemanly people inside by saluting them. And Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar came. He didn't know who he is. He didn't know his identity. He drove him out. Then he went back, and what did he do? He wore this coat, suit, tie and everything. He came in a coach. As soon as the coach came and stood in front of the house, immediately the watchman was standing in attention posture, ready to salute. As soon as Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar got down, immediately saluted him. And then he went inside the house. And after the party ended, when everyone was eating, what did he do? He took off his coat and he started putting food in the coat. Saying there, my dear coat, eat, he was selling. All people were bewildered. What is he doing? So people generally respect such things. So Krishna also shows his form for that, that the world come to know who he is. And all these descriptions are very vividly given in this 11th chapter about the form, how the universal form looked like. Yeah, all the demigods were present in that. Even Shiva was present, Brahma was present, Indra, Chandra, everyone was present. And what is this universal form is explained in Bhagavatam also. Everything that is going on in the universe is put in one place. Can you imagine? You know, in the engineering drawing, they have a sometimes it's called as a development drawing, we call it. You know, some of the engineering students will know what is a development drawing. Development drawing means, for example, this four walls, you unfold it like this, isn't it, and you show it. So universal form means you show the whole universe in one place. In one person's body, if you see the whole universe, how will it look like? Can you imagine? That means all the jivarashis, everyone eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and all different lokas, and all the devatas, beginning from the most tiny creature up to the biggest creatures. Everyone can be seen in the universal form. Everyone and everything within this universe can be seen in the universal form. And it is explained in Bhagavatam how the sun and moon are like his eyes, and the lower planetary systems are the lower part of his body, and the mountains are like the bones of his body, the rivers are like the veins in our body, like that. The trees are like the hairs in his body. So there is a very vivid description given how. And in this chapter also we will be reading very vivid description about how the Lord showed the form. But as far as devotees are concerned, as Prabhupada explains here, they don't have any interest. See here, this is shloka number 1 purport. Page number 554, second para. Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So in order to establish Krishna's divine identity, Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. So Prabhupada writes about it so elaborately because often in India, people, as we were saying in the beginning, they accept magnificent form of God as the ultimate. Like you go to the Negri Krishna Mandir, in the top you find this Vishwarupa Darshan worship. Because it creates a kind of awe and veneration in your heart when you see such a form. Because people think God must be great. And this form certainly looks great because there are so many heads. Nobody may be having so many heads. Maximum you heard of Brahma having 4 heads or Shiva having 5 heads. You don't know anything more than that. Here you find so many bodies and such expansive form. So you can come to 11.8. You can refer to 11.8 purport. Yeah. 11.8 purport, if you see. There this point is explained about devotee. A pure devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form with 2 hands. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace. That is another point. Below if you come, the universal form of Krishna is not very important. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the vision. See the next paragraph. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. They are so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their loving exchange, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme God. They take him as a personal friend. And Prabhupada quotes this, Ittam Satam Brahma Sukhanubhutya. So, this is a very interesting point. There are 2 types of Maya, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So, in Mahamaya, everyone is put in under the illusion that I am God, or I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And they are being tossed by Maya, by Mahamaya, I mean Durga Devi. She tosses them in various species and they suffer like that. But in Yoga Maya, Maya has a meaning called as energy. So Yogamaya means the internal potency or the spiritual energy. In that, all the devotees of Krishna in the spiritual world, they are covered by Yogamaya, which makes them think that Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my lover, Krishna is my child. Like you see Mother Yashoda, she asked Krishna whether Krishna ate dirt. Isn't it? Once when Krishna ate dirt. Even today nobody knows whether Krishna ate dirt or not, till date. In fact, there are many, many reasons acharyas have discussed very elaborately about Krishna eating mud. Actually, all that we know is that Krishna was playing with his friends. Balaram also happened to be there. And then Balaram went and complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna has eaten mud. You know what Krishna said? Yes, what did he say?
He said that all of them are saying lies there. I was playing with them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
actually I have won and they have lost. That's why they are coming and complaining to you about me. He said, actually I never ate mud, he said. So Mother Yashoda asked him to open the mouth. So Krishna, whether he ate mud or he didn't eat mud, is a subject of big controversy amongst the acharyas. But who? As far as pastime, he can tell lies, isn't it? Yeah. So, when she asked him to open the mouth, what did Krishna show? He showed the whole Brahmanda. He showed, you know, he showed all the universes, all the planets revolving, sun, moon, everything. Inside there was also earth. In there, Mother Yashoda was also there, and she was seeing the mouth of Krishna also. She saw everything into the mouth of Krishna. And immediately she fell on the ground and offered obeisances to Krishna, offering prayers to him. Then Krishna didn't like it anymore. He thought, what is this now? My mother is now worshipping me. You know, that spontaneity is gone. She's thinking I am God. So what did he do? Immediately he removed the curtain. Immediately she came in Yogamaya. Again she thought, it's my child. Again she thought that my child should not eat mud. Now we can ask a very logical and reasonable question. Somebody who is carrying earth inside his mouth, what will happen if he eats a little bit of mud? Is there any problem? But still she is worried that my child should not eat mud. He is carrying the source of all mud inside his stomach. But still she does not want him to eat a little bit of mud. So that is the kind of love that devotees have for Krishna. That is, in spontaneity, they tend to think Krishna to be some very near and dear relative. They cannot see him as God. They cannot see him in his Aishwarya. So we were reading earlier the verse. What is that verse? Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mama pasate ekatvena pritaktvena bahudavishato mukam. What is the verse before that? Anybody knows? Before that, Krishna explains the Mahatmas and Duratmas. So after explaining about Mahatmas and after explaining about Duratma and what happened, yeah. Activity of Mahatmas is explaining. Yeah. Sattam Kirtan Tomam, correct. Yeah. After that, Krishna is telling, besides these Mahatmas and Duratmas, there are other category of people called as Jnana Yajnena Chapyandye. Anya means there is another category. So the three categories in that. Ekatvena, Pritaktvena, Bahudha Vishvatomukam. So one category of people think that Aham Brahmasmi. They identify themselves with God, Brahman. The second category, those who worship different kinds of devatas. And amongst them, the top class people are the Vishvatomukham, those who worship the Vishwarupa Darshan. Amongst those three. So now from Vishwarupa Darshan, amongst the three, Vishwarupa Darshan is considered great. But leaving these three categories, before that we studied about Mahatma, isn't it? So when we come to the category of devotees, even in the category of devotees, those who worship the Lord with spontaneity are considered to be superior to those who worship in Aishwarya. So those who worship the Lord in Aishwarya means those who worship Him in great opulence. They are not considered as high as those who worship Him in very intimate, spontaneous love. Like Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra, recently we celebrated Jagannath Rath Yatra, isn't it? So who can say is Jagannath, Aishwarya or Madhurya Bhagwan? Let us see. Let us take a vote. How many of you say Jagannath is Aishwarya Bhagwan? It's almost 10, 12. How many of you say Jagannath is Madhurya Bhagwan? Little more, I think, is it? Oh, is there any third answer? Yeah, Jagannath is Aishwarya Madhurya Yugala Bhagwan. So sometimes you find Lord Jagannath is wearing a Swanavesh. Huh? You see, Swanavesh means the Chank Chakra, with all the jewels and ornaments like a king. Huh? He wears all that. Swanavesh, they put Swanavesh, if you see, very beautiful darshan. And at other times, you find the Shringar Vesh. Shringar Vesh is actually Madhurya Vesh, where you find him wearing very simple dress, you know, wearing peacock feather, wearing simple garland, wearing pitambar, that kind of dress, very, very simple dress. So both the dresses you will find. So in Jagannath, at one time there was a very famous king, Chandovega. So he, being a king, he sometimes would dress the deity. Sometimes, occasionally he would dress the deity, but he would dress the Lord in which vesh he would dress? In Swana Vesh. Because he himself is a king. So naturally he would like to dress the Lord in Aishwarya Bhav like that. But there was one Brahman. What was his name? Anybody knows? His name was Dharmasen, I think. His name was Dharmasen. So this Brahman never liked to see the Lord in Aishwarya Bhav. So immediately he would go to the altar and change the dress and make the Lord very simple. And all the people would be wondering, how dare he does such a thing? If king comes, no, he'll become angry. So one day the king dressed the Lord in very opulent dress and he went back. And then after an hour or so, he returned back to temple, take darshan again. And then he saw darshan that the Lord's vesh is totally changed. And he became very upset. He asked, who did it? And many devotees with great fear, they told the king, this is what this Brahmana did. Then he called for the Brahman. And a debate ensued between them. And this kind of debate is very difficult to solve. So he explained, the Brahmana explained, that the Lord, he is actually Gopika Kanta. He is actually a Gopesh. He is the master of the Gopas. He just wears a peacock feather, he plays on his flute. And he wears very simple dress. How can he be dressed like this with Chanka Chakra and all that? So he was arguing, and king was arguing also on his part. He's Vaikunthanath. How he can dress him so simple? He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. How can you dress him so simple? And this argument went on for some time and they couldn't resolve it. So in the meantime, a rishi came called as Udgala Rishi. So they both approached Udgala Rishi and they both presented their own part of debate. And he heard both of them and said, both of you seem to be right. And he could not solve it. He said, both of you come and live in my ashram. And then I will, after a few days, I will think deeply about this matter and I'll tell you, he said. And he offered them Jagannath Prasad. And one day when Dharmasen was, the first day when he was about to eat, you know, the plate was full of Prasad. But then he would offer the Mahaprasad prayer, like we offer prayers, he was offering prayer. When he'd open the eyes and see, the plate would be empty. And that day he fasted. The next day also, whenever he would close the eyes, and when he would open the eyes to eat Prasad, nothing will be there. So 3 days it happened like that. On fourth day he had a semi-closed eyes. He was saying the prayers. To check who is coming. And as soon as he was offering prayer, immediately one old man with a beard, he came there. And he saw him taking the plate and running away from that. Immediately he opened the eyes. And he started chasing after him, running after him. He said, if you want Prasad, you eat it, I don't mind. But you tell me who you are. He asked him. And that fellow was running away. And he stumbled on a stone and he fell on the ground. And immediately he died. So Dharmasen became very, very afraid. I have done a Brahmahatya because of chasing after him. So immediately he set up a fire. He said, I will enter into fire and commit suicide because I have done such a heinous act. Saying like this, he set up a fire. So when he entered into the fire, immediately Lord Vishnu appeared in the fire. And Lord Vishnu appeared. And he asked Dharmasen, why did you want to enter fire? You are my devotee. Your body is like my property. How can you enter the fire? Then he spoke. Then the Lord said, Lord pacified him. And the Lord told him that I really like the way you dress me. When you dress me in the Vrindavan dress, that really pleases me the most. And all this was being watched by the king from behind. Immediately king came running outside and fell at the feet of the Lord, weeping tears, and said, my dear Lord, I was so offensive to this Brahmana. I didn't like the way he dressed. And now I came to know that you are more pleased with his way of dressing. I'm very, very sorry. He said, then the Lord said, I am also pleased by the way you dress. He said, then he picked both of them and kept them on his lap, on each of his lap, both of them. And Lord gave very nice sermons to them. And the Lord said, throughout the year, let me be dressed in Vrindavan dress, in Jagannath. But 3 or 4 times in the year, I would like to be dressed in a very opulent way. That's why you go to Jagannath now, you will see very rarely they dress him very opulently. Other times he is dressed in his Shringar Vesh, generally speaking. Occasionally you get Sona Vesh like that. So, oh, Lord only came like that. Yeah, he disappeared from there. So Lord wanted him to create fire and wanted to appear through fire, like that. So Lord generally likes that kind of spontaneous worship more than the opulent worship. It is explained by Kavi Karnapur elaborately. In Vrindavan, once when the Govardhan Leela takes place, how after that Leela takes place, how Lord Krishna was worshipped. There is a very, very vivid description given. I read a small part of it, it was so pleasing to read. So wonderful. Many times we call Krishna as God, but we rarely get to hear about how Krishna is worshipped as God. So explains in Gopal Champu. He explains how after this pastime took place, Krishna kept the Govardhan down. Then all the demigods assembled there. All over the universe, everyone came there. Shiva came with his 2 sons, Ganesh and Kartikeya. Brahma came, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, all the demigods came. And Krishna was just sitting like a covered boy on the top of the Govardhan hill. The Govardhan itself offered a very beautiful jeweled throne for Krishna to sit. And Krishna sat on that throne. And immediately Varuna came and he brought an umbrella with him, white, pure white umbrella, which he was holding for Krishna. And Vayu took the chamara and started doing chamara for the Lord. In the meantime, the conch of the Lord, called as Panchajanya, started blowing auspicious sounds. And the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord, that expanded into many, many beautiful white umbrellas all over the top and covered the Lord very beautifully in the top. And Kaumodiki, Kaumodiki club, that was standing in the right side of the Lord, just like a beautiful jeweled pillar, like that. The moon became like a very beautiful mirror. Like, you know, in the morning for Shringa Darshan, we show the mirror to the Lord's face. Like that, the moon became like a mirror with beautiful jewels bedecked all around him to show himself in front of the Lord like that. And all the demigods were arrayed, offering Vedic hymns, chanting prayers. Then Brahma was the one who was leading the whole ceremony. So the Gopal mantra personified came as a small boy, and he instructs Brahmaji how to worship Krishna. And Brahmaji begins his worship. In the beginning he says, all the great Pativratas like Anasuya, who are all, you know, very famous. No, none of these people came. Anasuya came. One was Anasuya. One more A, beginning with A. Arundhati, correct, yeah. Arundhati, Anasuya, Parvati, Saraswati. Like that, many others also, they all come and he tells them all first to perform beautiful abhishek of different items for the Lord, and they all perform. You know, we perform this, lastly we perform with a perforated this thing. That was done by Parvati herself. She was doing that. Parvati. And he calls the Chatush Kumaras to come and chant the mantras and also to perform Abhishek to the Lord. And Saptarishi is there perform Abhishek to the Lord. In this way, and many others come and recite many, many wonderful prayers, and they offer different items. Like it is said, how Mother Bhumi, she came and offered all the resources of the earth in a very beautifully jeweled box to the Lord. And how the mountains were offering all their precious minerals to him. How the oceans were, the Samudra Devata was offering all the nine jewels to the Lord. And how all the rivers, all the holy rivers, sacred rivers personified, and they all come and they offer their waters to the Lord. Like that. So, in this way, Krishna was worshipped in a very gorgeous way, very, very beautifully, for a long period of time. And they bathed the Lord, they dressed him with new dress, they decorated him with very beautiful ornaments and everything, and performed arati ceremony for him. And after everything was over, then the demigods started leaving one by one, all of them, after offering obeisances to Krishna. Then only Indra and Sarvika remained to talk to Krishna for some time. And after Krishna spoke to them, they also left. Then after that, all the cowherd boys come there to see Krishna. What's happening there? And they find all this paraphernalia kept there. To see all this chamara and peacock feather and arati lamp and everything. So they start taking, all of them start taking different items, and they start very lovingly offering for Krishna. See, when you offer arati, you know there are rules. Four at the feet, two at the navel, and three on the face, and then seven all around the body. Isn't it? There are some rules how you should worship. There is a particular kind of vidhi. First you should do achaman and everything. So they didn't follow any rules. They just picked up whatever came to their hands and they were worshipping Krishna like that. And Krishna enjoyed it even more. And the demigods who all were returning to their planets, they looked back and they were watching how the covered boys are worshipping. And the Lord was far more pleased. Because demigods found that when they were worshipping, Krishna was getting almost tired. When they saw the covered boys worshipping, Krishna appeared to be jubilant, seeing them worshipping, and they were very happy. And there was a joke that went on between Sridhama and Krishna. So Krishna was telling Sridhama, so Sridhama, you remember how I crushed you the other day in our wrestling match? And you still have pain in your body, how do you feel now? He asked him. Then Sridhama said, hey, what are you saying? You crushed me. You don't remember that you carried me on your shoulder? You don't remember me? In fact, Krishna, I am trying to remind you. You know, when you entered the Agasura's mouth, you were not alone. All of us also entered with you. Remember that? Similarly, when you lifted the Govardhan hill, the Govardhan went by itself because of our puja that we performed. Like that. Similarly, when the Putana witch came to kill you, you would have easily died. It's only because the Brahmanas put a spell, Putana died because of that. So in this way, Sridhama was joking. So the demigods were stunned to hear all this, and they were watching this. So in this way, this is the mood of Vrindavan, where the devotees of Krishna, they don't know that Krishna is God. They have the love, it surpasses that reverence. The love goes beyond the reverential attitude. And Krishna likes that. It is not that Krishna considers it offensive. If we do that, it will be offensive. But these devotees are on such a platform. That is why Krishna is called as Rasaraj. Why he is called as Rasaraj? He knows how to relish his life the best way. Enjoy. See, enjoying, generally our notion of enjoying life means everyone should be under my control. Everything, like you know, a man thinks, I should be the controller of my house. My wife should be submissive to me. My children should, you know, bow down to me. And in this way, I am the one bringing money. So everyone should hear what I say. I should be the supreme controller. I am the holder of the flag at home. Man thinks like that. And wife thinks, I am the queen. She thinks, my husband should earn, you know, he should do his job, and he should bring his salary pack and come and give it to me. And I will lock it in the bureau. Even if he wants 10 rupees, he has to ask me. Like that. And all children should also, you know, bow down to me, and everything should be under my control. So everyone wants to be the controller, and the child wants to make both mother and father dance, according to his tune. He will make a big hue and cry and make both the people run here and there. So everyone wants to be a controller. Generally, our notion is that if I become controller, everything is under my grip, then I am the most powerful, I can be the most happiest. But the reality is that you certainly become happy by becoming controller to some extent, but you cannot be absolutely happy by being the ultimate controller. Like somebody may think, you know, Krishna is the ultimate controller, you know, he must be having really a lot of tension. Because anybody who has to have a complete control has to always keep a vigil, watching who is doing what, whether everyone is following what I am saying. Isn't it? But Krishna says, I am not such a god full of tension. I not only control people and things, I like to be controlled also. There is some kind of joy in even being controlled by others. Like, you know, my father must be now more than, you know, he must be 66 or 68 now. Once he was telling me that when he was about 55, once when one of his, you know, his mother or not his mother, some elderly person in the family, you know, she called him by his name. She called him as Venkat, you know. Hey Venkat, why don't you do this? He said, I felt such a joy, you know. In my life, you know, nobody is on such a stage who can call me by my name and give me instruction, do this for me. So I could not understand his pleasure. What was his pleasure? Maybe elderly people here may experience that pleasure. You all understand what I am saying? If somebody is more elderly to you, imagine somebody like Jayadev Prabhu Satyadeva Mataji. They have somebody at the age of 85 or 90 who is a family member, who still calls them, you know, oh my dear granddaughter or my dear grandson, and give a pat on the back and call them by the name. You feel some pleasure, isn't it? You feel pleasure? That's the kind of pleasure, isn't it? There is some special joy in that, isn't it? So in the same way, the Lord not only derives joy by controlling, he says, that's why he's called as Rasaraj. He derives great joy when Nanda Maharaj says, go and bring my sandals. When he gives instruction, there's a different kind of rasa in that. When Mother Yashoda says, do this for me, do that for me. So he likes to be subordinated by one of his devotees. There is some kind of special joy in that. Actually, if you grow bigger and bigger and bigger, you will realize this. You will see that, you know, everyone is bowing down to you, everyone is saluting you, respecting you. There is that kind of thing. After some time, it becomes bitter. There is no fun in that. That is why sometimes you derive a lot of joy when you associate with equals. Because sometimes equals, you know, they speak very frankly with us. They can pat us, they can joke with us, they can tell our faults, they can order us. So there is some kind of, and if you associate with superiors, that is also very joyful. But all the time, if you are surrounded by people who are, like the demigods are like that, every time Krishna says immediately, you know, Sahasra Sher Shah Purushaha, Krishna gets, just feels this. He gets bored with that prayer. Anytime they see, they salute me, and with all mudras, they start worshipping me. But the covered boys, they don't know Krishna is God. That is his advantage. He feels a very great joy in that spontaneous relation. You remember I was telling some classes ago about Bill Gates. Bill Gates, you know, he has so many friends who respect him, who call him and keep asking about his health, how is your health and everything, because they just want to maintain a relationship with him, to tell the world that I am a friend of Bill Gates. And Bill Gates gets fed up with them. You know, he says that I get so many calls, and so many people claim to be my friend, although I am not. So he wanted genuine friends. You know what he did? Like a fancy dress competition, he puts up a different kind of dress, and he goes out. It's a true story. It's not a made up story, cooked up story. So he goes like that, in different kind of ways, and he goes to a restaurant, he goes to outside places, and he has made some friendship with some people who don't know that he is Bill Gates, even now. So in that friendship, he is really getting a lot of happiness. He says that in one of his writings. He says that because those people don't know I am Bill Gates, they treat me like an ordinary man, and I feel a great joy. Because if you are treated as a very big man, then you become cornered totally. So Krishna is not such a god, who is such a great god that he is totally cornered. You know, nobody will be equal to him. No, nobody can be superior to him, although he is Asamardhva. So Krishna says, being Rasaraj, he takes such a role where you know, he becomes controlled by the love of his devotees. And Krishna derives great joy in that, in that kind of sweet relationship. That's why Prabhupada writes like this, that the devotees do not know that he is personality of Godhead. But this should not make us think that the devotees of Vrindavan are in illusion. They are not in any kind of illusion. If you see the prayers of the gopis, in that prayers the gopis are telling, Krishna, we know very well that you are a very great cheater. So they are telling him that we know when you came in front of Bali Maharaj as that dwarf Brahmana, Vamandev, you became Upendra, Trivikrama, and you assumed such a huge form that you took away all the possessions of Bali Maharaj. And in this way they are saying many things about Krishna. So now one may wonder, how they know all this? Because they must have heard from Purnamasi, or they must have heard from the Brahmanas in Vrindavan when they tell the kathas and stories. So they have heard. So in one level they know Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when they see Krishna face to face, that love is so overwhelming that it blinds that awe and reverence. That it totally blinds it. That makes them think that Krishna is our lover, Krishna is our friend. Like that. Because of that overwhelming love. That is why Prabhupada writes about how Krishna, when he is taken care by Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda and Yashoda are far more fortunate than Devaki and Vasudev. Prabhupada writes that. Why? Because Nanda and Yashoda got to see all the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And they dealt with Krishna so wonderfully closely. Devaki and Vasudev, certainly they are also fortunate because of being able to bring Krishna to this world. How Krishna wanted to be son of Vasudev and Devaki, according to their prayer they brought. But they were actually in a mood of great reverence. You will see, Devaki, what did she do as soon as Krishna was born? Immediately they both offered obeisances and prayers. But do you find Yashoda offering prayers? You find Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj offering prayers? You don't see that. They deal with Krishna so spontaneously, intimately. So that is why it's called as Aishwarya Shithila. Aishwarya Shithila means the Aishwarya becomes very weak due to spontaneity of love, due to spontaneous love. And Krishna likes that spontaneous love. So in the relationships between anybody, it's not only with Krishna. The love is something that becomes thicker and thicker and thicker over a period of time. Just like this sugar. The sugar, when you add it with water and heat it in the stove, first it's like, after some time it becomes like a pak kind of thing, you know. It'll be like a thin wire, sticky, viscous, and it becomes like you can draw out a wire from that, isn't it? And after some time, it becomes even more semi-solid, even more viscous. One point of time becomes candy and rock candy, like that. Similarly, love also becomes thicker and thicker and thicker. So the love of Satyabhama is very thick for Krishna. And her manifestation of love is very difficult for a common person to understand. Similarly, the love of the Gopas and love of the Gopis for Krishna, the way they deal with Krishna is not easy for a common person to understand. So, like you see Arjuna, when he sees this form of Vishwarupa, later on he will say, Sakehi matva prasabham jaduktam, he Krishna he yadava he saketi ajanata maam mahimanam tavedam. He's saying, ajanata mahimanam. Hey Krishna, I never knew that you can show such a ghastly form, my Lord. You know, I have slept with you in the same bed. I have dined with you in the same table. Many times I have called you nicknames. I have called you so many names. How many times I have played with you, I have wrestled with you. My Lord, I never thought you can show such a huge form. So Arjuna goes into a mood of Aishwarya. So Krishna doesn't like that. His devotee is going into a mood of Aishwarya. That is why in Vrindavan, generally Krishna doesn't manifest such things. In fact, he doesn't want to do any miracle. Otherwise, the devotees may lose the spontaneity. Like, you know, when the Vrijavasis see the forest fire, you know, and Krishna also looks all around, everywhere fire. And Vrijavasis, all of them take shelter of Krishna. And then Krishna does, okay, now all of you close your eyes. He does them. And they close the eyes. And then Krishna sucks all the fire. Isn't it? And then he tells them to open the eyes. You know why he did that? One thing is, he didn't want them to know that Krishna is a very great God who can do all this. by which they will also get Aishwarya Bhav. Hmm. He didn't want that. And he was also afraid that they will go and report to Yashoda. Hmm. There also. So he did that secretly. Hmm. So in this way, devotees are generally in that kind of spontaneous love. But we should remember, in our level, we should never try to jump to this kind of spontaneous love when we deal with Krishna. That's the reason why we are reading the 11th chapter, to know Krishna's greatness. We have to know the Aishwarya Bhava as well as the Vishwarupa Darshan. And we should first develop reverence. Without developing respect for God, there is no question of developing love for Him. It is just impossible. Like, you know, in one of the classes I was speaking on this Divya Unmada, isn't it, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we hear about the Divya Unmada of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes our hair will stand on end, we will feel ecstatic, it's so wonderful. But the procedure to acquire that stage, achieve that stage of Divya Unmada, is to faithfully serve the instructions of the Guru. Otherwise, one can never achieve such a stage, exalted stage of feeling separation and all from Krishna. Although these pastimes are very nice to hear, it's like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. We can never do that. You can't put up a show. Maybe we can do it for a drama if we want. It's possible. But in reality, we cannot feel such separation from Krishna. But such feelings of separation from Krishna comes as a mercy of Guru. We can see in Lord Chaitanya's life. Lord Chaitanya was chanting the Mahamantra. At one time he was crying tears and, you know, hair was standing on end, his whole body was quivering. And then he says, he ran to Isharapuri and asked him, "What mantra did you give me? That by chanting the mantra, tears are coming from my eyes, my body is quivering." And his spiritual master gave a pat on his back and he said, "Well done, my child, well done. These are the symptoms that are supposed to be manifested when one chants the Mahamantra. Now you have achieved the ultimate perfection in your life of achieving Krishna Prema in your life," he said. So that is actually a mercy of the spiritual master. It doesn't come just by putting a show or a drama or imagining oneself. It's very easy to imagine ourselves. In the same way, the spontaneous love with Krishna, we have yet to be very careful not to jump to that stage of imagining ourselves to be in having some kind of relationship with Krishna, like a gopi or a gopa or a parent of Radha Kunja Bihari. We cannot assume like that. So we have to study the chapter like Vishwarupa Darshan. Very attentively, we have to hear all these descriptions given and know them and contemplate on them and develop a great respect, mood of respect. Just as Arjuna respected. Arjuna said, "I offer you obeisances, millions, not one or two, from all different directions." So we should also get such a feeling. Then we will come to the stage of love afterwards. After we understand Krishna's greatness, then when we hear his Vrindavan pastimes, then they will make a lot of sense to us and we will be able to appreciate them within our heart. Hare Krishna. Any question? Lord is giving Arjuna the celestial eyes to see his Vishwarupa form. See, celestial eyes means it's a degradation. Arjuna had divine eyes to see 200 form, but from that Lord gave him celestial eyes, which means heavenly eyes to see this form. So demigods also saw him. And all the warriors on both the sides, they also saw. That's there in one of the purports. We'll be reading that. Also there. Who?
All other warriors. Krishna gave it to Arjuna.
Yeah. Whatever other warriors. Yeah. No, actually, this vision is called a celestial vision, which is not considered a very high vision. God gives, if you see. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, also we can see, but we cannot know Krishna's. Yeah. Sanjay also saw. No, Dadami Chakshu Divyante, what it is said in the verse, that is the purport given by the Acharyas like that. You'll be discussing in next class about that only. Yeah. To anybody. Even the one he showed to Yashoda, the one he showed to Duryodhan, those are all small parts of this. Vishwarupa. Yeah. What is? Yeah, this is the total. Yeah, it's different. See, Virat Roop is actually the manifestation of the whole universe. Actually, Vishwarup, this is the sum total of everything. See, when we talk of Virat Roop, that is like similar things are only explained there also. Sahasra, He also has thousands of heads. It's the very same thing as blind. Actually, Vishwarupa is also called as Virat Rupa. Same thing. Narada Baba uses both the words. You see the purports? Virat Rupa, Vishwarupa uses them. Same word he uses. Yeah. He showed. Because he's Krishna. He's Krishna. Yeah. That is full. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Just like this. Yeah. Advaita Acharya. Yeah. It's which one? Yeah. Yes. Temporary forms is explained, yeah. Yes. It is one of the aspects of the Lord which he shows, yeah. But some people tend to think that this is ultimate. Yeah. You cannot, you know, put a beautiful dress for the Visharup. You cannot offer a garland. You cannot bathe them. Yeah. You can only, you can be in bibhatsaras, frightening dress. Yeah. Yeah. Asking, gopis didn't know Krishna as God, but they loved him. And we also are ignorant about Krishna's position. So we may also be liking Krishna. Are they same? In Bhagavatam, there is a very nice verse. Two people are free from the anxieties of this world. One is a Paramahamsa, another one is a fool. It is same. Bhagavatam. You know that verse? Yeah. Yeah, that is the. So, see, a fool, because anybody in between has to perceive the sufferings of the world. Is there anyone here who feels there is no suffering in the world? If anybody feels there is some problem, something. Like, you know, one disciple was telling to somebody else, you know, that he does not feel any lust, you know. And that disciple went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, he says he doesn't feel any lust. Prabhupada said, take him to doctor. He has some problem. You know, he said, in this world, only Lord Narayana is free from lust. Nobody else. So, every one of us, we all will certainly feel lusty. It's a question of how much a person can take shelter of the Lord by which one can surpass lust. Same way, only an ignorant fool and a Paramahamsa, they both are out of this world. Similarly, gopis are in a very high stage. So, from our stage, we have to come to a stage of developing such a respect for Krishna. And then we'll go beyond that stage to come to that spontaneous love. That will come. Yeah. Yeah, I don't say. I never said you are a fool. I never said that. Yeah. Maybe I am a fool, I can say. Yeah. We are in a growing stage. You know, see, we are slowly awakening. See, what is Krishna consciousness? It's a slow awakening. You know, little by little by little, little. Yeah, it's like a flower blossoming. Slowly we are awakening. We are certainly not called as total fools, because Vimuda means one who does not know about soul, God. He's called as Vimuda. We are certainly not Vimuda. We are somewhere in between Vimuda and Dhira, somewhere in between. Sometimes we show symptoms of Muda also. Sometimes we show symptoms of Dhira. So we are. That's a good point. He's saying we know, but we haven't realized, he's saying. Yeah. Very intelligent, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Like that, you are asking? Is that the question? Krishna's love is a universal love towards every living being. Then, how can we reciprocate with Krishna on a one to one basis? That is the meaning of God, Krishna being God. Even in the Rasa dance, if you see the Rasa dance, every gopi was thinking, Krishna is only with me. When Krishna was dancing, he gave them a feeling like that. That was the feeling they got when they were dancing with Krishna. Everyone. So Krishna can give that feeling. It's possible for him. We are not able to give that feeling even to 4 or 5 people of the family. It's very difficult. Isn't it? It's very difficult. Sometimes people, among children, sometimes children compare and think, my parents like that child more, no? My brother more, a sister more. Like, you know, sometimes in families, you see one child is born, when the second child is born, then parents' attention go to the second child, and the first child gets some psychological problem. Hey, what is this? Parents are all the time behind my a newly born brother or sister. Huh? What about me, you know? It's very difficult. Huh? Whereas Krishna is able to give love to everyone. Huh? It's possible for him. Give them a feeling. I used to think also before, if there are millions and millions of souls in the spiritual world and Krishna is only one, you know, my Lord, there must be a heavy crowd to meet Krishna, you know. You know? How, whether we'll get to see him or not. Huh? It's not like that. He's saying it's like Tirupati Darshan, he's saying. It's not like that. Krishna can give a feeling of being with, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in seven circles, right? In the Ratayatra party. So he gave them a feeling that he was in each party. Krishna can give them the feeling. Yeah. It's possible.
Some people think that it will be difficult to see Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Spiritual realm is a totally different realm which is beyond the limitations and inabilities of material realm. That is why we cannot totally capture the spiritual realm right now. We can understand something about spiritual realm. You can't totally understand. It's not possible.
Is it also possible
super soul? We certainly think of the antaryami in our heart. But that is only an expansion of Krishna. When you go to spiritual world, the super soul doesn't come with you. You only meet Krishna face to face.
Only in the material world.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.